Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
You want to take your Bibles out and turn to Psalms in chapter 37. There'll be two verses there. Psalms in chapter 37. We'll look at verses 23 and 24. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Father, we come to you this morning, and God, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. Help the preaching to be anointed, to be spirit-filled. Help me not to get in the way. Lord, it's you that's going to speak to hearts. So God, we pray you take scripture and just make it live right where we are. God, for anyone that's cold and apathetic and indifferent to God's will for their life, would you please arrest their attention? Lord Jesus, just a slight nudge, a tap on the shoulder, a whisper to the heart, nothing drastic. We pray God had never come to that. But Lord Jesus, would you just kind of rally the troops, draw your children to where they need to be, and God, do a great work right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful week. God bless you. How many prayed for camp every day last week? Senior week camp, teen one, was amazing. I don't mean the 11 people that got saved, the 11 teenagers, some of who we thought were saved. But I mean, it was amazing. There were over 30 teenagers surrender to full-time service. Man, I'm telling you, God just took over. I put it out in the prayer alert in the middle of the week, and said, hey, this is a great group, man. They're gathering together. They're in the chapel singing before it's time for choir to start. Let's just pray. And you prayed, and God came through. And Thursday night, man, it bust wide open. It was wonderful. There weren't enough counselors to deal with people. I had four young men around what we call the prayer rock out there. Hey, let me take you to camp here for just a moment, and then we're going to get to the text. Before the evening service, usually while the evening service has started in the tabernacle, several preachers, we got a habit of getting together around what we call prayer rock. It's just a big flat rock out in front of the tabernacle. We get on our knees and we pray down the power of God. It's great, man. I feel like Sheffy when that's going on, because we're down there, we're praying. We can hear the singing inside the tabernacle. God's at work. The young people are on fire for God. They're loving what they're singing. It's very obvious. And we're able to pray, and God does great things. Well, when came time for the altar call that night, they ran out of counselors very quickly. And so I just grabbed four young men, said, you four come with me. And we got on our knees around prayer rock. Now they go to the dining hall. It's private there. The mosquitoes can't get you there. But the mosquitoes were at a very minimum. God bless that way as well at camp this week as well. But you know what? There are people everywhere praying. I prayed with four young men. One young man that I prayed with from Sudbury, Ontario, received Christ that very day. I led him to the Lord. I was excited about it. He was excited about it. It was real. He's very thoughtful. He said, preacher, if I get saved, I said, you want to get saved? His name was River. I said, you want to get saved? He said, well, yeah, but does that mean I give up my hopes and my dreams? And I said to him, River, I don't think you understand your hopes and your dreams. God will do more in your life than you could ever imagine. Your hopes and your dreams, if you mean selfish things, give them up. God has a better plan for your life. I quoted that text, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I said, that's talking about this life right now as well. I said, River, would you like to receive Christ? He looked at me and very deliberately said, yes. We bowed together. he received Jesus in his heart. That night, during the chapel service in the tabernacle, when it all busted loose and young people were everywhere praying, I took four guys. There were no counselors left. I'm the extra guy. I'm one of the extra guys. So I'm the old guy. I took four teenagers. We went around prayer rocks. Let's get on our knees right here. And all four surrendered to full-time service, what God would have for them. Man, I was rejoicing on the inside. While we were praying, I could hear another young man all by himself, no counselor. There weren't enough. He was on his knees at the outside corner of the tabernacle, outside, and I could hear him praying while we were praying, God, use me. God, use me. Man, we had a week. Whew. God is doing something right now at Fundamental Baptist Church. How many of you were here last Sunday night? That was the biggest Sunday night crowd I can ever remember seeing here outside a special event, preaching on Revelation. Man, there were Methodists here last Sunday night. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And some of them said they were bringing others tonight. I mean, it was as big a crowd as what we have here right now, or maybe bigger. I mean, it was huge. Now, I jokingly said all week, now, I don't know if it was the ice cream we had afterwards, or what else did we have going on that night? Oh, the air conditioning. It was hot last week, yeah, because it was beautiful in here. The air conditioning, or if it was that good old Bible preaching, Pastor Rader. And I like to think it was the third. I don't know if that's the case or not. But, man, this thing's growing. I'm telling you, God is taking over. We've been praying for this for a long, long time. Man, you come out tonight, I'm preaching on the first 42 months of the tribulation period. God is taking over. Don't be left out. Man, don't be left out. God has a plan for your life. I think I said to Spencer last night, it was after chapel. I said, Spencer, you're called to preach, man. There's nothing better. Absolutely. Let me say this from the pulpit this morning, because it's good to kind of put people on the spot as far as decisions for Christ. And Spencer, if you're genuinely called to preach, don't you start chasing money. That is a well-worn path. Where a lot of God-called servants got on that path, and now they're lost in the wilderness. They lost their way. Man, you don't chase mammon. God has a plan for your life. And that plan that God has for you is exactly what you need. Look at the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4. Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 17. Don't run from God's will. Don't surrender because you think you're not talented enough. None of that matters. If God's hand is on you and God has called you to, no matter what the calling is, God will provide everything you need, everything. And it doesn't need, he don't need talent. God's got all the talent you're ever going to need, and he can give it to you. All right. And it's amazing what God will do. So do not run from the plan of God for your life. It says here in verse 17, why don't you stand out of respect for God's word? Stand one more time. I got a lot to preach in just a little bit of time, so I'm just going to shorten everything right up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. God, take over now in this message. Lord, it's not important that I preach the 5 points that I have. It is important that you take over and you do in people's lives and in their hearts what needs to be done this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name and beg for the power of God. Amen. You may be seated. Turn to page. We don't have time to tarry here at all. Turn to page to Matthew and chapter 7. Matthew and chapter 7. God is getting ready to do some great things. He's getting ready to bust, and I want everybody involved. We're praying for a wonderful fall. We've got great things planned, a lot going on. Some of that will be next Sunday morning's message, where I'm going to try to share my vision with you and what needs to happen and what's going on. Say, preacher, I thought you did that in January. Well, I kind of did, but things have changed immensely, and I'm expecting, I want to share with you next Sunday morning what the vision is, what the burden is that God has given to me. Don't stumble through life. Number one, here's God's will for your life. Get saved. Get born again. It says here in verse 12, verse 13, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets. All kinds of false messages out there. This is going to be a go after it kind of message. Lay the foundation for next week. Number one, I don't want to leave this out, get saved. If you're here this morning and you are not born again, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says in verse 21, same chapter, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some people think by doing more and more good things, somehow they're going to get to heaven. Man, we prophesied in your name. Man, we testified in your name. God, I did all kinds of good things. And Jesus will say to them, but your name is not written down. You're not in the book of life. You were never born again. He'll say to the recording angel, is his name there? They'll look, it's not there. You can't go to God's heaven. See, how do I get my name there? By receiving Jesus Christ. In a simple prayer of faith, repenting of your sin. Religion isn't going to get that done. Nowhere is there a list for the Baptists, and a list for the Methodists, and a list for the... That's not how it works. That's not how it works. It's the Lamb's book of life. There must be a time and a place where you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And by the way, getting your dad's religion won't get you to heaven. Getting your mama's religion won't get you to heaven. You personally, as a sinner, must repent of your sin and call upon God. He'll invite him in. He'll save you. That's being born again. Number one, you got to get saved. You want to make sure you're getting to heaven. Number two, get baptized. I'll not belabor this. I preached something along that line a couple weeks back. As many as received his word, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, were baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, Jesus himself was baptized to fulfill the law. He didn't have to have any sins washed away. Baptism doesn't wash away sin. He just did it to identify with the gospel that he was going to provide on Mount Calvary. He was our example and thus fulfilled the law. He did what we could not do. But here's the New Testament teaching, and you find it all through the book of Acts. You find it all through the New Testament. It's called believer's baptism. You get baptized not as a baby, no infant baptism in the Word of God. You get born again first. You get saved first, and then you follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. It's a picture, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is not salvation. Salvation is when you receive Christ. If you never get baptized and you receive Christ, you're still going to God's heaven. Thief on the cross, still going to God's heaven. But after you get saved, first step of obedience is follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. Get baptized. Get to church. You know this text. I haven't read it in a long time. Go to Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 25. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question, a very simple question. If the number of services we had at Fundamental Baptist Church was determined by the number of services you attend as a believer, how many services would we have a week? I know some people work. I understand that. But how many services would we have? Would prayer meeting go by the wayside? Would Sunday night go by the wayside? How about Sunday school? Let us consider one another to provoke us unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can't build a church on part-time Christianity and pocket change. It's not how it works. New Testament Christianity and everything you got. That's how a church is built. Now, I'm not up here preaching for money. I'm saying Jesus wants your all. Not just limited to money. I'm talking about everything. It ought to belong to God. And the ecclesia means called out assembly, Greek word for the word church. When the New Testament ecclesia meets, the Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 10, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And he says, you know what? Now he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching, the return of Christ. More and more faithful. I'm telling you, something's good. Something big is going on at Fundamental Baptist Church. And we're ready to bust out. And You know what? We've been at the doorstep time and time again before, and I don't know if this is it before Jesus comes. Some people are so far, they so far have been removed from the working of the Spirit of God, they don't even recognize what's going on. But we that are here, we know what's going on. Man, let's get at it. Get to church. Put Jesus first. Go back a chapter in Matthew. Matthew and chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 through 21. You want to live a life with no regrets. You want to live a life that's all God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's not where your heart is, there is your treasure. God knows what we're made of. That's where our treasure is, there is our heart. So where I put my treasures, that's where my life is going to follow. That's where my heart is. It's a revealer of the heart. And Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven. You'll never lose that way. You won't end up serving mammon. You won't end up going the well-worn path of the world. But instead, it'll be Jesus first. Man, I got a 3-point message right here out of Matthew 6. Don't have time to preach. Your personal life, 19 through 21. Your family life, verse 24. Your job, verses 25 and 26. I'll tell you this, get clean, get praying, get growing, and get bold. Go all out for God. You aren't a soul winner? Now's the time to start. Well, in fact, we got a few more. I'm a whosoever pins the hand out. I got to remember to do it. I keep forgetting to do it. Don't have time to do it now. Sorry, folks. All right. We'll get it. Maybe tonight, maybe another service, maybe in Sunday school. But glory to God. People are being won to Christ. That's a wonderful thing. Put Jesus first in your life. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And he was talking about temporal things there in that part of chapter 6. The clothing, the food, the wherewithal, the job, all those things will be added unto you if you just learn to put Jesus first. Get to heaven, make sure you're saved, get baptized after salvation, get to church, be faithful, be here tonight. Man, if you don't know what I'm going chapter by chapter through the book of Revelation. Tonight, it's chapters 6 and 7. 6 and 7, the seal judgments. You come tonight, bring your pen, bring your pad. God will bless you. But put Jesus first, get others to go to heaven with you. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. I know we're not deep this morning, and I know some of you might be able to quote this verse, but everybody turn there. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Don't go to heaven alone. Everybody is important. The young man from Sudbury, I was made aware of him being at the camp, and so I saw an opportunity when he was sitting by himself, and he's a quiet spirit, big guy, gentle giant. That's how he was described to me. So I just looked around for a gentle giant. That's got to be him right there. That's him right there. And I saw a moment where he was sitting by himself, and I went over and sat by him, introduced myself to him. We talked for a while, where he was from, what's going on in his life. And I finally said, River, have you been born again yet? And that's when we first made eye contact. And he said, no, I haven't. You've been hearing about it? Yeah. And then we went through that conversation. Our God is concerned about everybody. Everybody. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 and verse 15. Everybody is important to God. Live a life that's fruitful. The will of God for your life is really pretty simple. You notice I haven't even talked about vocation. Get saved, get baptized, join the church, be faithful. You know, you can get by, you'll bounce through life by coming on Sunday morning. But you don't get you don't get enough Bible by coming to Sunday morning. Tonight, your plate is going to be filled up to overflowing. Tonight will be like getting a drink out of a fire hydrant. You know, it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be so much. And you need to be faithful. Get Jesus first in your life. Make him the priority. It's easy to have other priorities. And it's sinful to have other priorities. Get other people to heaven. Don't go to heaven alone. My last point is going to be the bulk of the message next Sunday morning. But let's go to Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I understand the word vision there is referring to the manifestation of the Word of God. And through the manifestation, through Bible preaching and Bible studying and Bible teaching, you learn more of the will of God. And you get vision. You start to see things the way God sees things. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to fill your plate. Next Sunday morning, you'll think Pastor Rader has gone mad. I promise you, some of you are going to think that. That guy's crazy. To think that that can happen in Chippewa County. I'm going to let you think I'm crazy all week long, and I'm going to prove it next Sunday morning. So you come out next Sunday morning. But you've got to, if you don't have vision, then you're satisfied with status quo. And I'm telling you, it isn't enough. It's not enough. I told you a couple weeks ago, after the first week of camp, a man came up to me after camp, who's from another church downstate, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Pastor Rader, you've got to keep fundamental, you know, straight and narrow, and in the Bible. It's too easy to stray." And he's talking about his home church. He said, "Fundamental is a breath of fresh air. Fundamental is real Christianity." Man, he just poured it on. And he was weeping while he was telling me this. Man, he was breaking my heart. Told me about his church and what's going on and what the church used to be and what it is now. And I'm telling you, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Man, the hell cannot stop the Philadelphia church that is committed and on fire to God. There's all kinds of poison out there. You be careful you don't drink the Kool-Aid. You be careful you don't get sidetracked and get on one of those well-worn paths of running off to the world. Man, there's a whole county that needs to be won to Christ. Get some vision. Next Sunday morning, we're going to the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to try to make it as clear as I can. But let me say this again, and I'm already through, and this will be my 30 minutes. Don't just bounce through life. You'll get a lot of bruises that way. Don't just kind of bounce off the walls and hit dead ends and have to start all over again. And man, don't do that. By the way, where are you in your Bible reading? Remember the July challenge? I was thinking about this last night when I was praying. I said, "God, what's going on right now? I feel like I'm a little bit out of control." That's okay. And it's just like things are happening good. Things are kind of bursting everywhere. And I think it correlates with the whole church reading through the New Testament in the book of July. I think it's more and more, and I've had a lot of you come up to me and tell me, "Man, I feel so full." And it ain't your preaching. I feel so full. And it's just kind of God taking, you ought to be to it. Last night, Ephesians chapter 1. That's where you should have been. If you're keeping up. And 8 chapters a day, and was pointed out to me, doesn't quite get it done. So every once in a while, you got to read an extra chapter. But we're almost at the end of July. And by the way, if you're a long ways behind, that's okay. Just sit down, open your Bible. In 15 minutes, you can cover 8 chapters. Even slow readers. In 15 minutes, you say, yeah, that's all it takes. I'm telling you, you'll find that out. You see, the devil tells you, "Oh, this is a long time." Not a long time. Catch back up. God is preparing a people. This is harvest time. This book of Revelation we're studying. The fall that we're getting ready to, we're not there yet, but we're going to enter into. All the big days that are planned in the fall. All the work that has to be done. All the people that God is going to save. Man, don't be left out. God has a will for your life. Salvation, baptism, join the church. Jesus first. That's a priority. The last thing, get some vision. That'll be next Sunday morning. Let's get ready. Bow our heads and close our eyes. No one looking around. God, as I pray right now, and you know my heart, I so much want your best. Lord, in all the years I've been here, I've seen a lot of people come and go. We're grateful we're continuing to grow. And even though we lose some people along the way because they get sidetracked, you give us new people. And some of those old people, always we see them coming back. We give you glory for building your church. If we're in the way, move us aside. And God, build your church. Make it what it needs to be. Prepare Fundamental for greatness from heaven's view, in your eyes. God, please. Look this way. Everybody look this way. It's camp time, so we get a lot of visitors from downstate. This is one of the unusual Sundays where, or at least this morning, they're not here. I mean, some are coming in tonight, I think, for camp. But they come here, they come to Kinross, Michigan, they come here to the woods and they see all the cars in the parking lot and all the people that are here, and they think, wow. But I'm telling you, as your pastor, this isn't enough. All around us are people still going to hell. In fact, in houses right around us, right now, as we meet together for worship, there are people that don't know Christ. There are people in Pickford, people in the Sioux, people in Rudyard, people in Dafter, people in Cedarville, people in Brimley, people over there in Barbo, and all around us. They don't know Christ. There's so many to reach. Some of them are your loved ones. God, would you take over in this church? God, would you do in our midst what man cannot do? Would you build your church and prepare your church for the soon rescue that is about to take place? Will you rapture us? Oh, God, set people on fire. Not because of words a preacher used, but because of the Word of God. Shake your people. Purify us. God, make us holy. Make us right. And make us compassionate. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If this morning you desire to come and pray, pray for your family, pray for the church, pray for reaching this county for Christ. Maybe you made a decision at camp. Maybe you made a decision recently. Why don't you come and cement that thing in prayer right now? Tell God what you're doing and tell God what you need. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, man, what you need to do is walk an aisle, come down to the front, and I'll be standing on the main floor, and this morning, receive Christ. You walk right up to me. You're not sure you're going to heaven? You walk right up to me and say, Pastor, I need salvation. I'll have someone lead you to Christ. As the instruments play, you come.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.